Welcome to the Voice of Power broadcast with Gary Atkins, pastor of Willing Vessels Christian Center in King, North Carolina. In a postmodern culture, Pastor Atkins preaches an old-fashioned message under a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit, pointing men and women to the truth of Scripture and freedom found in Jesus Christ. Pastor Atkins believes the body of Christ has a voice, and when we declare Jesus is Lord, we have a voice of power. Here's a recent message from the Tabernacle of Willing Vessels Christian Center.
Let's look at Matthew chapter 8 and verse 23. And read with me. And when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being swamped by the waves. But he was asleep. And they went and awoke him, saying, "Save us, Lord, we are perishing." And he said to them, "Why are you afraid, O you of little faith?" Then he rose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, "What sort of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him?" And may the Lord bless his word. You can be seated. Praise God. But these words have been coming to me, and I feel like somebody needs to hear them today. Amen. To keep calm and keep on. Let's look at our text. When he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great storm. Now, I want you to highlight "followed him," because anytime you follow Christ and make a commitment, you can expect storms, trouble, adversity, persecution out of nowhere. It arose on the sea so that the boat was being swamped by the waves. But he was asleep. Now, you want to talk about being calm and being at peace when you can sleep through a raging storm in a boat that was probably not built like our yachts today. Waves, the text says, was coming into the boat, and the disciples are sore afraid. And they went, verse 25, and woke him, saying, "Save us, Lord." Now, that is the cry of humanity. When the Lord grants the new birth to you and I, and regeneration takes place, and we are at that moment, we are faced with a decision to place our trust in Christ or not. But you realize that after you are born again, that you have a series of decisions to make in your life. You're going to have trial, tribulation, trouble, storms out of nowhere, and you will have to make the decision of whether you are going to trust Christ or not. Whether you're going to keep calm and keep on, or whether you're going to lose control. Maybe some of you are on the verge of that today. "We are perishing," they said, verse 26. And he said to them, "Why are you afraid, O you of little faith?" And then he rose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Now, Mark's gospel puts it like this. He stood at the bow of the ship and said, "Peace be still." And the winds and the waves immediately stopped. Now, I've heard this preached, and I've preached it so many times. And I've heard it preached in a way that Jesus was saying, "You could have done what I did if you would have just had faith." And I don't believe that's what he's saying there. Jesus was revealing his power over, number one, sin. When he came to the earth as the person of Jesus Christ, he had the power to forgive sin. He was revealing his power over sickness and disease by healing those who were sick. He was showing his power over the demonic by casting out devils and setting people free. And when he got on the boat and the storm arose, he was showing and revealing his power over nature itself. Amen. Now, he was in no way saying to his disciples, if you would have had faith, you could have done what I did and speak to the storm and make it stop. Absolutely not. If you think that's the case, next time there's a hurricane, why don't you just stand up and say, peace be still? But people do that kind of thing. What he's saying here is that even when a storm comes out of nowhere and trouble hits your life, everything all around you could be chaos, and it is in our world today. But you can remain faithful in trusting in Christ, trusting in God, because his plan is perfect. Amen. And he brought a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, what sort of man is this? Well, he was the God man, wasn't he? Not only was he a flesh man, but he was ultimately and truly God in the flesh. And he exhorted his authority over nature. I want you to turn with me to Psalm 107 in your Bible. Psalm 107, a powerful passage of Scripture. Psalm 107, verse 23. We'll start there. Love this verse of Scripture. Psalm 107, verse 23. Psalm 107, verse 23. Some went down to the sea in ships, doing business on the great waters. They saw the deeds of the Lord. Of who? The Lord. Now, many would argue that calamity doesn't come from God, that trial, and he's good. He doesn't give us anything bad, and he doesn't bring turmoil into our lives. Can I remind you that God is directly or indirectly behind everything that's happening in your life? If he's not directly doing it, he's indirectly doing it because he's allowing it to happen. If I allow someone in this pulpit to preach false doctrine, I'm not the one doing it, but I'm indirectly doing it because I'm allowing it to happen because I have the power to stop it. He has the power to stop anything. He could stop the wildfire. He could stop hurricanes. He could stop the violence in our streets. He could squash it all today. But the question is he causing it? Well, he's indirectly causing it because he's working things after the counsel of his own will. Now, that should give you great comfort this morning because we know he's in control. If man is in control, it's going to be a mess and nothing will make sense ever. But the only way we can have sense out of what's going on in our world today is to look to Jesus and keep calm and keep on, right? All right, look with me. Look at verse 24. His wondrous works in the deep, for he commanded and raised the stormy wind. Who did? The Lord did, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted up to heaven and they went down to the depths. Now, there are ups and downs in your life. You're going to have some high moments and some low moments. The problem is that when you're in the low moments, you feel like you'll never get out of the low moment. You feel like it's never going to change. It's never going to get any better. And then when you're up, it's almost like, well, what's around the corner, right? So life is full of ups and downs. It's full of good news and it's full of bad news. But let's read. I love this passage. Their courage melted away in their evil plight. They reeled and staggered like drunken men and were at their wits' end. I like that. Do you think we coined that phrase? That's right there in the script. You ever felt like you were at your wits' end? Like you've had enough? Enough is enough. You ever felt that way? Verse 28, then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress, and he made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. I like that. So, ladies and gentlemen, when there's times of anxiety and chaos and trouble and turmoil and storms and tragedy, bad news out of nowhere, always remember that you know the peace speaker, the Prince of Peace himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he speaks peace into your life, that doesn't mean circumstances change. That just means he gives you the peace to endure and to walk and to live and to trust him. Now, it's wonderful when they do change. And I'm thankful that sometimes they do. And he works miracles and he signs and wonders and he changes circumstances and various times. But a lot of times he simply just does not change the circumstances. But even in the midst of all of that, you can have peace that passes all understanding. In the middle of a storm, in the middle of a chaotic world, in the middle of a chaotic family. I hear people all the time, my family's dysfunctional. Every family's dysfunctional. There's not a family on this planet that is not dysfunctional somewhere. Promise you. But even in the midst of all of that, even when you're at your wit's end, you can cry out to the Lord, and the Prince of Peace will speak peace into your life. You believe that? Shout yes.
Yes.
All right, so how can we remain calm and keep on during a time like we're living right now? Go with me, John 14, quickly. John's Gospel, chapter 14. And we're going to look at verse 15. John 14, Jesus telling his disciples that he will quickly be making an exit. He's leaving them. Of course, we know, looking back to the cross, he's planning his ultimate sacrifice for the sins of his people. And of course, they're distressed about this, but look what he says. John 14 and verse 15. John 14, verse 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter, a helper, a paraclete, to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him because he dwells with you and he shall be in you.
Amen.
Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. But you see, here's the thing. We can't love him unless he first loves us, right? And the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And he is the one who walks with us and grants us peace during troubled times and during chaotic times, news out of nowhere. Maybe there's someone here today and you've had tragedy, you've had a bad report or some negative news, or things just haven't been going the way you think they should be, and it's just chaos. Maybe that's you today. Maybe you're on the verge and getting ready to get some bad news. And when you do, I want you to remember these words, that you can keep calm and keep on. Maybe you're someone who's on the verge of a panic attack all the time. I want you to remember these words, keep calm and keep on. Why? Because you have the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, the one who's not only with you, but he shall be in you. And he is the one who quiets the storm in your heart and in your mind. He is the one. Look at verse 25 of John 4. In these things I have spoken to you, that while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Can I give you a promise today? That when you put his word in your heart, he will remind you of his word. He will. They say, how do you memorize scripture? Well, I hide it in my heart, and when I need it, he brings it up in my spirit. I could not stand here and quote to you half of what is in my heart, just off the cuff. But when his anointing comes upon you, and the helper and the paraclete begins to work in your life and in your heart and in your mind, he will bring those things to your remembrance. And when you feel like you're on the verge of losing it all and losing your mind and nervous breakdown just seems to be in your near future, I want you to remember that the paraclete, the Holy Spirit, will bring peace to your mind. Look at verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now, that's not a suggestion, that's a command. Peace I leave with you. The ability, the power to keep calm and to keep on. He's saying, I will give it to you. And it will remain with you. And the world, well, the world just can't give that kind of peace, Doug. The world can't grant you serenity of mind. Just cannot do it. No medication can give you peace. No amount of money, although it may make things a little easier, does not grant you peace in a tragedy, in a storm that comes out of nowhere. No amount of money. The world cannot give it to you. And the good news, the world, well, they can't take it away from you either. And bad news can't strip it out of your heart, because it's the Holy Spirit that grants you that kind of peace, the ability to keep calm and keep on. Keep going. Don't quit, but remain calm. How? With the help of the Holy Spirit. You believe it? Shout amen. Now, I can't talk about peace ever without talking about Philippians 4, 6 through 8, where Paul is in a Roman jail and he says these words so eloquently. He says, be anxious for nothing. Everybody shout nothing. But in everything by prayer, supplication, and with thanksgiving make your requests known unto God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your heart and mine through Christ Jesus. Then he said, finally, brethren, whatever's true, whatever's honest, whatever's just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of praise reports and praiseworthy, think on these things. And how can we do that? Number one, trust in Christ. Secondly, get his word in your heart. And thirdly, keep calm and keep on with the help of the Holy Spirit. The cost of our peace, I'm going to close with this. The cost of our peace was paid by Christ. And let me say this boldly. It is non-refundable. Look with me. Isaiah 53. One of my favorite passages in all of Scripture. Isaiah 53. And we're going to look at verses 1 through 6. I would encourage you that if you're going to memorize Scripture, memorize Isaiah 53. Powerful portion of Scripture. The prophet, the statesman prophet himself, declares these words. Look at verse 1. Who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before them like a tender plant, like a root out of dry ground. He has no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, He was a man of sorrows. That's your sorrow. That's your pain. That's your heartache. He was acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and, well, we esteemed him not. Surely, he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. What is Isaiah saying here? He's saying that when Jesus came to this world, during his ministry, during his last days on this planet, people looked at him as someone who was cursed by God. Someone whom God's face was against as a blasphemer. He wasn't a king. He wasn't a ruler that would overrun the Roman Empire and allow the Jewish nation to establish a kingdom on the earth, which is what they were looking for. So they esteemed him cursed by God, especially when they said, crucify him. And the Romans said, we'll put him on the cross because the law says, cursed is every man that hangs on the tree. So what was that curse? Well, the curse was your turmoil. Why? Because he redeemed us from the curse of the law, the inability to keep it, which produces turmoil. The inability to keep your faith. Can I tell you something this morning? And I want you to remember this. You don't have the willpower to keep faith in Christ. You don't. Now, I know you want to pat yourself on the back, and I know you want within yourself to say, I did it. I made an effort. I did this. And you want to look somebody else in the eye and say, you just have to make an effort. You have to do it. You have to live right. You have to keep the faith. But unless he gives you the power and the ability to do that, you cannot. Amen. You cannot. Because you can't even keep the law of God. And because you can't keep the law of God, you'll look in the mirror every day and say, I failed again. You'll look at your loved ones and say, I failed again. Because you, sir, you, madam, you don't have the power to do it on your own. You need the help of God, the Holy Ghost. You need the help of the Paraclete. But look with me. Verse 5, this is the one you need to get. He was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Now, beaten 39 times with a Roman whip with shards of glass and stone and rocks and metal, that with each lash of that whip, pieces of flesh the size of a man's hand would fall to the ground. With each lash of that whip, Isaiah is telling us what's happening and why he took that punishment for your transgression. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us what? Peace. The ability to remain calm and to keep on. The cost, that's what that means there. The cost of our peace, peace of mind, peace in our heart, the cost was upon him, and he paid the price. He paid the price. Amen. Amen. With his life that he gave so that you and I, during the storms that come out of nowhere, can have peace from the Prince of Peace. Let us continue. And with his stripes, we are healed. And Peter puts it past tense. He says, by his stripes, we were healed. That means it's a done deal. The deal is sealed. Amen. That he has, by his stripes, made us whole. Body, soul, and spirit, I believe, today. Made whole by the stripes of Christ. And can have peace. Verse 6, all like we have sheep have gone astray, and we have turned everyone to his own way. We are living in a time in America where everybody is, well, not everybody, but a lot of people are doing what's right in their own eyes. That's what they're doing. If it feels good, do it. If it seems right to me and my generation, that's how we're going to do it. Because it's right to them. That's what he's saying here. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. When Christ went to the cross, when he went to Calvary, upon him was placed your sin, your sorrow, your pain, so much so that when they offered him a drug in the form of liquid, myrrh, to drink, the Bible says he rejected it. You ever wonder why he rejected it? Because that would dull the pain that he had. But he, in all of his glory and his power, was going to be sure he was going to take every ounce of pain, every hurt, every difficulty that you and I would ever face and take it on the cross and become sin so that we could be made the righteousness of God in Christ. Look at verse 10. This verse tears me apart. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. It pleased him to do it. The English Standard Version says that it was God's will to put all of that pain, sin, iniquity, transgression upon his son Jesus. That was his plan. But he's a good God. That was his plan. And it pleased him to do it. Why? Because God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And if anyone's watching who's lost, Lord, I pray. If you're watching, listening, anybody in here today, maybe the turmoil you're facing is because, well, you haven't taken the knee to Christ and you haven't said yes to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I want you to do that today. I simply want you to say, Lord Jesus, here I am. Won't you everybody just pray that with me? Say, Lord Jesus, here I am. I'm in need of peace. And as the disciples stood up on that ship, Lord, I'm saying today, save me, forgive me of my sin, cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I declare with my heart and confess with my mouth that Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. I sure hope you prayed that prayer believing that Jesus has forgiven you of your sin and that he has transformed your life from this moment forward. And I'm so glad that you've decided to listen to the Voice of Power broadcast, and we pray that it has been a blessing to you. If so, we would encourage you to consider giving a financial donation to help the Voice of Power stay on the air. You can give in three ways. The simplest way to give would be through text message, by simply texting a dollar amount to 336-747-3336 and following the instructions. And also you can go to the website at voiceofpower.org and click on the Give link, and it will take you step by step on how to give financially to the Voice of Power. And thirdly, you can give by mail, P.O. Box 2439, King, North Carolina, 27021. And once again, we're delighted that you've decided to listen to the Voice of Power broadcast and tune in next week at the same time. And I pray that the words of your mouth, the meditations of your heart would be acceptable in his sight, for he is your strength and your redeemer.